Thank you, Mr. Josh Sanders. And leading worship this morning as Matt is gone. And you know, Josh would not like me to say this, but today's Josh's birthday. So why don't we just really quick say happy birthday, Josh. 1, 2, 3. He can beat me up too. And so, you know, we'll wrestle later. Josh, thanks for preparing my heart for worship and leading us all in that. And so, welcome to High Point. My name is Greg. I am the lead pastor here. So grateful that you're here this morning to hear the word as we continue our series in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And last week, I began the passage in the Good Shepherd as Zach again read Psalm 23, which is the Good Shepherd passage. I asked that he would read it again this week as I continue the series in John chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles or if you have a bulletin, why don't you grab those or turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 11. As we continue Jesus' discourse on the Good Shepherd, which He is, the Good Shepherd. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting in verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. He who is the hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's the hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon, and he's insane. Why do you listen to him?" And others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let me ask God's blessing again through prayer. Heavenly Father, my prayer is that by the power of your word, we might be revived in our souls. That those of us who do not know you, that the people who are out here that do not know you might see the Good Shepherd for the first time. And that those of us who profess to know you as our Good Shepherd would understand how good that really is. Father, my prayer is that by the power of your word and by the work of the Holy Spirit, that this message might be pleasing to you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you weren't here last week, you know, the series that we're in is in the Gospel of John, which ultimately points to what is the truth about who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Because ultimately, the truth about who Jesus is answers every question you have. And so we need to understand that. And John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the Gospel of John so that you might know who Jesus is. And that by Him, you might have life. In His name. That's why John is written. In John chapter 10, we begin to see a little bit about what Jesus is beginning to teach the Pharisees and also the people who would be standing around listening to Jesus in that He is the only shepherd to follow. And last week, we talked about the criteria that makes Jesus say, hey, follow me. Don't follow these Pharisees, these religious leaders. Follow me. I'm the good shepherd. And last week I said that Jesus had the credentials. He fulfilled over 300 messianic texts. It's not a matter of us not being able to believe. It's that we don't want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And He has the authority that was given to Him by the Father. That all names, as Josh alluded to in Philippians 2, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And the question is, will you do it here on this side of eternity? Because you won't have an opportunity to repent if you were to die in your sins. And so Jesus proclaims the lordness or the lordship that He provides. And then the hope that He provides. I'm not going to redo that message, though I do want to bring that in because you need to understand the facts is that Jesus wants you to know why He is the Good Shepherd. And this morning, we're going to learn about the attributes of this Good Shepherd and why we see the character of Jesus unlike the character of the people, the Pharisees, these false shepherds. But before I get to that, you know, oftentimes our perceptions about a subject really gives us the experience of that subject. And let me explain. If I were to say Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride, as John the Baptist wrote or said in John chapter 3, some of you in here, your perception of marriage could be very skewed. Because you have a bad husband, or you have a bad wife, or there's been a divorce, or any number of abuses, or sin that gets into a marriage, you may look at that term as me saying, Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are His bride, and say, not liking that analogy. Can you move on to a better one? Your perception of the marriage covenant is skewed, but Jesus still uses that illustration. Or God is our Father. Now some of you have had bad dads. Some of you, when you look at your dad, your father, you say, I don't like that example. I had a bad dad. I had a bad father. He beat me. He did any number of abuses, physical or spiritual, whatever. I don't like my dad. He left me. And when I see God is our Father, I'm skewed. I don't get that. But yet, God uses that illustration. How about this? And the next one I'm going to say really makes me feel uncomfortable. I even had to call a couple of my friends, my peers, and ask them, does this statement sound right? What do you guys think about this? Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my friend. Now, some of you have friends. Some of you might even say, I got some best friends. But I'm guessing some of you in here have a skewed knowledge of what it means to be a friend. Or you have bad examples of friends. But yet Jesus refers to Himself as our friend. Of course, those of you who know Christ as Savior, those of you who profess Christ as Lord, He calls you His friend. John 15, 14 and 15, and this is just an extended introduction, but just bear with me here for a little bit. This is Jesus' words in John 15. We're going to be getting to those, but it builds a foundation on this Good Shepherd passage. In John 15, it says, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you my friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This message, the Good Shepherd, I'm going to be bringing in the attributes of the Good Shepherd, so that you might know that when Jesus uses this phrase, I am your friend, He is the baseline for friendship, for being a friend. Don't look to your high school buddy. Don't look to your college friend. Don't look to anybody but Jesus as the example of a friend. Because truly, He is the only friend you need. And as you look at Jesus as the bridegroom, don't look at that as a picture of the marriages you've seen. He is the perfect example of the marriage covenant between us and the Father. So I got to thinking, how can I impress this on your heads? How can I make it so much that you guys are thinking as you leave out here, Jesus is my friend? Well, there's a good song that illustrates this point. And I want you to listen to about a minute 37 of it. Cut it off when the bass starts going. But why don't you listen to this song and see if it impresses upon you the term, Jesus is my friend. Roll it, Jake.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to live my life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that He's one who will never leave you flat.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to pray and how to save my soul. He taught me how to praise my God and still play rock and roll. The music may sound different, but the message is the same. It's just an instrument to praise His name.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Okay. Now I just want to bring in a little bit of humor, okay? Because I was uncomfortable with that. I hope you were a little bit uncomfortable with that. But because we don't understand what it means when Jesus says, I am your friend, it makes us feel uncomfortable. And you got to know that Jesus' desire is to be your friend. So let's look at some of these attributes that Jesus illustrates as the Good Shepherd and why we can follow Him. Because He has the very attributes of a good friend. And no person on this earth can fulfill these attributes. Do you get this? That's why you look to Jesus. The first thing that I see, and it's found in verses 11 and verse 15 and verse 17 and verse 18. But let me just read these. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In verse 15, just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. And verse 18. Or that was verse 18. But verse 17 says the same thing. I lay down my life for the sheep. You know why Jesus is our friend? Because He's a giver, not a taker. He gives where everyone else of your friends take. He is the perfect example of the shepherd to follow, to be the great friend that you need, because He gives where everyone else takes. In verses 12 and 3, we see the comparison here. It says, "He who is the hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming," or sees the wolf coming and he snatches them and he scatters them. "He flees because he's the hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep." Do you know why Jesus is the good shepherd? And the attribute of why he's your friend is because he gives and everyone else takes. You know, a hired hand, based on this scripture, was a person who would ultimately, he didn't own the sheep. And so when trouble came, he was out of there. He didn't have a vested interest in these sheep. He wasn't the shepherd. Is that sort of like some of your friendships that you have? Not a lot of give and take, but it seems like it's all take. You know, when I went to college, I drove a sweet 1986 Capri station wagon. Now, this Capri station wagon, which we refer to as the Chuck wagon, because my dad's name was Chuck, my dad gave me this station wagon for my college car. Okay? I didn't have very many dates in college, specifically because I had to drive a station wagon. So the first date I had in college, I actually called my sister and asked to borrow her Lumina because I was really embarrassed. My dad loved this station wagon. Blue, false wood panels. He loved this station wagon. We went to Colorado in this station wagon. I mean, he bought this thing. He owned this thing. It was his pride and joy. And handing it over to me, he's thinking, "My son's going to love this wagon." To say that I beat that wagon up would be an understatement. To say that there are probably rims flying throughout Des Moines still would be an understatement. I hated this wagon. I had no ownership to this wagon. I was just a hired hand when it came to this wagon. And I sold that wagon for $300. To say that my dad was angry would be an understatement. Jesus owns you. He loves you. And because of that, he gave his life for you. He's a good friend. And he is our example, what it means to be a friend. John writes in 1 John 3:16 this, as a challenge to us: "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." What kind of friend are you? If Jesus is our example, if the Good Shepherd is our example, are you a giver or a taker? Oftentimes, I know in my life, I feel like I'm a hired hand in my friendships. And what God has shown me in this passage is He is my good shepherd, and He is my example of what it means to be a friend. And by God's grace, I will be more like Him and less like the examples that I look at as friends. You know, my friends would encourage me to do drugs. My friends encourage me to get drunk. My friends encourage me to do all these things. Hey, it's all right. Keep doing these things. Live it up. I don't know if that's being a good friend. Because I used to do the exact same thing. Jesus is a giver, not a taker. And He is our friend. The second point I have, and it's found in verses 14 and 15. Let me read them again. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So the second point I want you to understand in regards to Jesus being our friend, that why we can follow Him as the good shepherd, is secondly, He is personal, not distant. He is a good friend because He's personal, not distant from us. Now, how do I know that? Well, in the Greek, the word know here is kenosko. It's a Greek word. It means not just the facts. It's I personally know everything about you. I have a deeper, fuller knowledge about you that you wouldn't even know. Because I created you. I gnosko. I know you, not just the facts. I don't know that you just work somewhere. I don't know just when you were born. I know your thoughts, what your heart is thinking. I know your pain. I know your struggle. I know you personally. Do you really know somebody? Now, I got to tell you, I know Peyton Manning. Okay? Peyton Manning last week became the first quarterback since the AFL merger to throw 7 TDs in a game. Did you know that? Did you know he threw as many touchdown passes as the Kansas City Chiefs did the whole year? In that one game. Did you know he is on pace to throw 112 touchdowns? That would be more than 10. That would be 10 more than Joe Flacco has ever thrown in his life. Former Denver Bronco quarterback Tim Tebow hasn't thrown 7 touchdowns in the past 19 games he's ever played. Now, I know Peyton Manning, right? I just know the facts. I don't even know who his wife is. Does he have kids? Is he even a follower of Christ? You know what makes Jesus our friend? He knows you personally. Not just the facts about you. He knows everything about you. What you think about, what you struggle about, what you rejoice about. He knows you and desires to know you personally. He is a good friend. Psalm 94:11 says this. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, but they are but a breath. Matthew 10:30 says this. But even the hairs on your head are numbered. That's Jesus. He knows you. And He wants to be your friend. My sheep know me. And I know them. It's a reciprocal thing. And if you know Christ as your Savior, if you have placed your trust in the Lordship of Christ, then you are beginning to know Jesus personally. Do you? How do you know Jesus personally? Because you do what He says. You follow His commands. Now, the very commands of God are not the means to get you to heaven. Don't mistake me. Because some people would say, well, if I be good and I do good, God will reward me with salvation. No. The very means of salvation comes through the blood of Christ. But when you place your trust in Christ personally, you begin to know what Jesus wants from you, which is to give Him glory every day of your life. Are you doing that, Dad? Are you doing that, husband? Are you doing that, high school student, college student, single woman, single man, child? Would you profess to know Jesus as your Lord, yet you will not follow His commands? What kind of friend are you? Jesus desires to be your friend and to be personal and intimate with you. That's why we follow the Good Shepherd. And finally, found in verse 16, we see this. And I have other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. Now you understand the context of John chapter 10 is that Jesus is speaking specifically to the Jews. And what the Jews believed were that they were the children of God, separated for salvation. Here's the problem. God separated a people to demonstrate how He deals with people. And Israel was those people. And God has a specific plan for Israel. I don't mistake that. He does. But as John chapter 1 says, to those who receive Him, they are given the right to become children of God. Not by works, by blood, or good deeds, but by Christ, you become a child of God. The third thing that makes Jesus our friend and worthy to be following the Good Shepherd is He is inclusive, not exclusive. Now, I have to paraphrase this a little bit because most people in our world, in our culture today, would say, yes, yes, feed me this inclusion. Jesus wants all of us to be able to do what we want. You know, whether it's homosexuality or anything, we can do whatever we want. Jesus is so inclusive. Don't mistake what Jesus is saying here. He hates sin, but welcomes the sinner. Do you hear me? See, sin destroys our lives. And He came to save us from that very sin. See, the world says that they want Jesus to be inclusive so you can do whatever you want. But Jesus is saying is, when you understand why I came, you won't want to do what you want. You'll want to do what I want, which is glorify the Father. Do you want to glorify the Father today? Then follow Jesus as your friend and the Good Shepherd. He is inclusive. And what does that mean? Well, in that text, what Jesus is saying is that not only are the Jews, the ones who are separated out by God, those people will and have a special plan designed by God and must receive Christ just like me and you. But what Jesus is telling us is Gentiles, and that's us, anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. You are welcome into this sheepfold. You are welcomed into this flock. I am including everyone. He is a good friend. He is inclusive. He desires anyone would repent and turn from their sins. Anyone would place their trust in Christ. He will welcome you in. He's not exclusive. See, the Pharisees built these walls. These walls up. If you didn't meet the criteria of the Pharisees, if you washed your hands on Sunday, if you took medicine and helped somebody out on Sunday, or Saturday actually, it would have been the Sabbath, well then you're not that kind of Jew that you should be. And they put up these barriers and these walls, and everyone felt like they couldn't measure up. I'm here to tell you that Jesus says, any of you who would repent and turn from me, I will no way cast out. He is not saying you can do whatever you want. He is saying, repent from the things that you're doing, and I will welcome you in. And I will give you a new heart, a heart that wants to glorify the Father. He is a good friend. And so often, all of us, I'm in this battle. I battle my flesh every day. I want to do this, Jesus. And you're telling me I need to do this. And you know, I'm telling you, I want to do this. And Jesus is sitting there saying, listen, friend, I know what's best for you. I am the Messiah. I have the credentials. I have the authority. I have the peace and hope. Are you my friend? Dad, are you excluding people? Mom, are you excluding people? Single person, college student, high school person. I'm asking you again, what kind of friend are you to people? And if you're a follower of Christ, you profess Christ, are you excluding people? Are you telling them they have to follow a certain set of rules to come to Jesus? And if they don't meet your certain criteria, they're not welcome in the house of God. You know, no swearing and wearing bad clothes, because that's not the kind of Christian I know. Listen. Let Jesus, the friend of sinners, take care of them. He will change their hearts. He uses us to point out things in our lives that are not good. But leave it up to Jesus to cause people to repent. He doesn't need your Pharisaical approach to Christianity. He doesn't. It absolutely excludes people. It doesn't include. We need to draw people to repentance and the grace of Jesus Christ and what the cross represents, that He died for sinners, that He came for those who are sick. This is a hospital, not a country club. We are all sick in here. And the second we begin to think we're somehow better than the next person, you become just like the Pharisees. Exclusive, not inclusive. And don't mistake me here. I'm not saying condone sin. Absolutely not. Jesus didn't condone sin. That's not a good friend that says, hey, good job doing whatever you wanted to do last night. No, a good friend brings them to the cross. And when you look and elevate Jesus to where He belongs, at the right hand of the Father, your life will change. I promise you, you can't look at Jesus the same way as what He truly is, the Good Shepherd, the Messiah, the Son of God, and your life won't change. So the question you have to answer yourself, is Jesus your friend? Or are you a taker? Are you distant from God? Are you exclusive? Jesus wants us to know He is our friend. And He is the perfect example of what it means to be a friend. So that you don't look at Joe or Sally as your example of what a friend is. You look at Jesus as the example of what a friend is. And then by doing so, you elevate the glory of God in your life. Because you become more like Christ and less about your examples. You know, I said before that I really struggle with this whole Jesus is my friend. You know why I struggled with it? Because I'm not a very good friend. I have expectations for people. I have bad thoughts about people. I have a whole bunch of bad things. If you knew everything that was going in my head, not good. And so when Jesus tells me He's my friend, I think, that's not sufficient. I need more, Jesus. I know You're my Lord. I know You're my Savior, but You're my friend? That's so incomplete. And Jesus told me this week, he said, you don't get it. I'm the perfect example of what a friend is. And because of that, I'm the good shepherd. And you can follow me. I give my life. I want to know you personally. And I will include you in, Greg, even though you fail miserably in your sin. I love you. That's a good friend. That is a good friend. Do you know the good shepherd? He's like, I'll just close with this. In the Greek, there's a word for good. There's two words, actually, in the Greek for good. One is agathos. The other one is kalos. Agathos means he is a good man. It's a morally speaking. If I were to say, Zach, you're a good man. Morally speaking, that's what he's talking about. Good means, in the agathos, it means just morally good. But the word here that Jesus used, or that John used by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is the Greek word kalos. You know what it means? Not only morally good, but perfect, beautiful, excellent, and worthy to be praised. Perfect, excellent, beautiful, and worthy to be praised. That sounds like a great friend and a good shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the passage in John chapter 10. And Lord, may we look to the good shepherd, our friend, a friend of sinners, as Mark 2:17 says, 13 and 14 says. And God, I ask for your blessing. I ask that we might learn a little bit better what it means to be a friend because of our example in Jesus. And that those of us who do know him, that we would be friends to others, with Jesus being our example. Lord, thank you that you are the example, that you died and was buried and you rose again to save those who might repent and turn to you. I ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Now what we're going to do, like we usually do, I want you to spend just a minute. And before he starts singing again, I want you to think of a couple things. First thing I want you to think about, do you have a friend in Jesus? Do you? Do you know Jesus as your friend? And I would ask you, if you're here today and you have never confessed your need for Jesus to save you from your sins, then he is an enemy of yours. Now I know that sounds scary, right? It is. Because you deserve to go where you deserve to go. And that's not because Jesus doesn't love you. John 3:16 says he does love you. He did not come to condemn you, but to save you. It's your choice to walk away from your friend. Would you ask God to save you today? And to ask him to be your friend, your Lord, your Savior for the first time? Do you have a friend in Jesus? And to those of us who know Christ, I want you to think about this. If Christ is our example of being a friend, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? Jesus is your example. And spend some time thinking about that.